Back in the summer of 2014, I had the opportunity to go to Rome for the first time in my life. And one of the images that has remained with me these last 3 years is standing in the ruins of the Palatine Hill, once the glorious home and residence of the emperors of Rome. And now all that is there are ruins. And I remember looking through an arch, and off in the distance, framed beautifully in this arch, was St. Peter's, standing steadfast and secure. Well, as I was thinking of this image in my mind yesterday, also brought to my mind were these words of Cardinal George, who in 2005 was standing next to Pope Benedict when he was presented to the world on the loggia of St. Peter's. And people commented on the kind of pensive look that Cardinal George had on his face. Cardinal George has since died, but when he returned to Chicago, where he was the bishop, reporters asked him, "Cardinal George, what was it you were thinking about that day when you were standing next to Pope Benedict?" And this is his answer. "I was gazing over toward Circus Maximus, toward the Palatine Hill, where the Roman emperors once resided and reigned, and looked down upon the persecution of Christians. And I thought, where are their successors? Where is the successor of Caesar? Where is the successor of Marcus Aurelius? And finally, who cares? But if you want to see the successor of Peter, he's right next to me, smiling at the crowds." I love that quote because I think it captures for us something about this day. For today, the church remembers one of the great popes, Leo the Great, who was pope from the year 440 to 461. And as we think of Pope Leo the Great, keep in mind the image of my standing looking through that arch at St. Peter's. Think of those insightful words of Cardinal George. And as our colic so vividly articulated this morning, "The gates of hell will not prevail against the church." Why? Because she is founded on the apostolic rock. 440 to 461. It was a time of seismic change. There were earthquakes happening all over the world of Leo's time. And if the church was only a human institution, if it was not founded on this apostolic rock, it would not have survived. During the 5th century, the Roman Empire, which had dominated the world for centuries, was collapsing. Vandals, under the direction of that well-known Attila the Hun, were ravaging Italy. And they came to Rome. And Pope Leo appealed to Attila and said, "Do not sack the city." And the tradition says that St. Peter and St. Paul appeared to Attila with swords in their hand and basically said, "Leave my boy alone." Well, a number of years later, the Vandals did come back in the year 455, and they did sack the city of Rome. But at the appeal of Pope Leo, he said, "Please do not burn the city to the ground. Do not destroy the city's basilicas." And he was respected. So from the outside, the world was collapsing. And on the inside, there were heresies with men like Pelagius, a man named Eutychus, who claimed that Jesus was not fully man and fully God, that his humanity was not like your humanity or my humanity, that his humanity was somehow diminished. And it was Pope Leo who, although not at the Council of Chalcedon in the year 451, had 2 years earlier, when there had been a council at Nicaea, written a tome where he articulated the nature of Jesus being fully God and fully man. At that Nicene Council, those who opposed him, who were on Eutychus' side, had the upper hand. But 2 years later, when over 500 bishops, it was the largest gathering of bishops to this point in the history of the church, when they gathered at Chalcedon and Pope Leo's words were written, do you know what the bishop said in unanimous response? Peter has spoken. Peter has spoken. And so we celebrate the profound gift that is ours, because we are part of the apostolic church. We are part of that church that understands what Jesus meant in today's peculiar parable. It's one of the most beguiling of them all. On first hearing, it sounds like he's commending dishonesty, but he does not condone deceit. But it is the application to the parable that we need to hear. For the children of this age are more shrewd in dealing with their own generation than are the children of light. Jesus wants his hearers to realize that there are times when people whose horizons don't look beyond this world are more savvy in securing their temporal futures than are those who know that the future has eternal dividends. Rewards that are to be attended to with greater diligence than shown by that crooked steward. Pope Leo the Great was a shrewd pope. He was someone who understood that we have to live strategically, we have to live carefully and thoughtfully in a world like this. And indeed, he would have understood and been inspired by the shrewdness of that other great leader, St. Paul, who in that reading from Romans speaks about the thing that most matters in our lives is a deepening life of virtue and becoming Christ-like in our thinking. For he said of the Roman Christians, "You are full of goodness." Do you want to be full of goodness? What else matters in life than to be people growing in virtue? And he then says, filled with knowledge. That is the knowledge of Christ. And as we are filled with goodness and knowledge, Paul says, we are then able to instruct one another. That was the gift of Leo the Great. He was a pope who could instruct others. And St. Paul, in this reading, celebrates how through his ministry, he was able to not only reach out to the Jewish Christians, but to the Gentile Christians who had gathered in a part of Rome called Trastevere. And that's where the earliest Christian community was found. Gentiles and Jews now united in Christ. And St. Paul, in speaking about his work as a minister of the gospel, wrote this: I am to be a minister of Christ Jesus to the Gentiles in the priestly service of the gospel of God. I love that phrase. To be a priest is to be engaged in the priestly service of the gospel of God. That is to be one who is a mediator, drawing people to Jesus and bringing Jesus to people. And there was nothing that gave Paul more joy than, as he goes on to say, than to win the obedience from the Gentiles by word and deed. And indeed, this is what Pope Leo the Great did. He won obedience through suffering, through generosity, through patience, through teaching, through witness. It's people like St. Paul, it's people like St. Leo who take to heart the Lord's words to invest wisely in our relationships and so win for Christ those who in word and deed say that Our allegiance is not to some temporal empire, even one as glorious as Rome. No. For us, our allegiance is to Jesus Christ. We are people who, with Cardinal George, have the eyes to discern that the church does not stand apart from Peter. The church stands on Peter, on that apostolic rock. And because of this, we can weather the storms that rage against her because of the one who is shrewdest of all, our Lord Jesus Christ, our shrewd Savior, who determined that it is upon Peter that his church would be established. And he is the one who promises to be with us through every change and every chance of this fleeting world.